Holy Spirit Seminar, November 2nd.
I guess I'll have to number the pages after this. Okay, so let's begin. The questions most asked, why do I need the Holy Ghost baptism? If anybody has any question about this, raise your hand. We'll just run through the questions real quick. What kind of power do I receive? Do I You receive the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus to be the Lord of your life. That's what makes it easier for you to understand the word. Then when you are filled, you are immersed in the Holy Spirit to overflowing, like three containers that you see pictured here. The fourth question, will the evidence be the speaking in another language? It will always be. What will I be saying? You will be glorifying God. What about the places in Scripture that do not say they spoke in another tongue? It doesn't say they didn't either. Who is the baptizer? Jesus. What is the language I speak at the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why is it an unknown one? It's unknown to you, but it is known somewhere on the earth. When they received the baptism in Acts chapter 2, they spoke 15 different languages, but all of them spoke in the language that they understood. The backside of that is the language or tongue I receive at the baptism the same one I will speak with my prayer? No, it is not. You receive a separate, only a prayer language between you and God. Only you and God, only God can understand. Pray in the Spirit after that? No, you will pray both with your understanding and with the Spirit. What is the difference between praying in the Spirit and the gift of tongues? As we have seen before, we do not know what we are praying for at the time that we are praying. That's why is it our heart? Given in tongues, somebody on the earth can understand that language. Let's see. The next page is, can the gifts be abused? Yes, the gifts can be abused. Solomon and Moses are two examples. Can the gifts be counterfeited? Yes, the devil has a counterfeit for everything of God. Are the gifts temporary or permanent? They are permanent. Can God call the gifts back? No, the gifts and calling are without repentance. Can I have more than one gift? You may have all of them if you are walking with God and be. For every ministry, for all to receive. Shall we be afraid of getting an evil spirit when we speak in a tongue? No. You shall not be afraid. Are the gifts exercised at will? Then you're free to express those. Do we need the want? Yes, you can. Covet the best gifts. Can we know we have received the gifts? Yes, it is impossible to have the gifts and use them without knowing that you have them. And are the gifts to continue throughout this age? Yes, indeed, they are. So now the next page you have is answers to critics. And I think they don't need any explanation. You may read those at your own discretion. So now we'll get into the teaching. It is important that we who follow our own admissions that we sin. For example, the devil can set before you something, but you don't have to follow it. It's by your choice that you follow it. So it is by your choice that you are choosing to sin. Every man is called of God, and every man should have the gifts of the Spirit operating in their life. The Holy Spirit does not is our ability. He gives us the ability to talk and to say things that he wants us to say. So when a gift is in operation, and you will see when they are in operation, it is easy to follow what the Holy Spirit does. There are in Galatians 5:22. They are as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We are full of the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit are the character of Christ. So they are what the church needs. The church needs. You will not have the fruit if you do not have love. You will not have the gifts if you do not have love. The gifts hinge on love. Love in your life. Then we have the ministries of the gifts of the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 12. And I'll read those to you because they are important. Ephesians 4. For the perfecting, they are, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and in the unto a perfect man, unto the perfect measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed about to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the ministries are given to the church. Their ministries are separate from the there's the apostle. An apostle is a sent one. A sent one to start new works. Prophets, they give forth the word of God. Teachers, teach revelation knowledge. When you have revelation knowledge of the word, you become a teacher. Evangelist, an evangelist's job is to go forth and bring the people to Jesus. Then it's the other job to take over. The pastors are the shepherd of the flock. Now, if you have all those down pat, they are to bring all the body to unity. If we had all the body in unity, we would not have the differences of opinion. We would not have the differences of anything else. Don't let the devil cause you to doubt or fear. When it comes to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it isn't an intellectual experience. It's a spiritual experience that you are experiencing. You need to realize the gifts of the Spirit. Now we come to the gifts of the Spirit, and they are in 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In this passage of Scripture, the Trinity is mentioned. So you need to be aware of that. There are diversities of fruit gifts, but the same Spirit is the Spirit that gives the gifts. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, that is Jesus, different offices. and there are diversities of operations, it is the same God which worketh all in all. And to bring the church into a togetherness that God has his speaking in the gifts. And about the gifts. Do I speak in tongues when I receive the baptism? Yes, you will always speak in a tongue. There is no receiving the baptism and not speaking the gift. One goes with the other. In Acts, the second chapter, all of those who received it were in the upper room. They were in the upper room, and people down in the valley heard them speaking with another tongue. There were 15 people in that crowd, different languages that they talked, came from different areas. They all heard them speaking the wonderful works of God. So that's what you will receive. Now, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit divided into 3 groups. They are inspirational. 3 gifts say something. Three gifts do something. There are 3 revelation gifts. 3 gifts perceive something. They are all supernatural, given by the Holy Spirit. The inspirational gifts are tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Those are the 3 of the 9. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 of them are inspirational. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Tongues are different kinds of languages spoken. The hearer does not understand the language. No, the speaker. The speaker of the tongue does not understand the language, but the hearer of the tongue understands the language. Do you understand that? For example, I could give you a message here in tongues. I couldn't understand it, but somebody in the congregation should have the message. Now, if nobody has the message, the pastor should always have the message. If nobody steps forth to give it, the pastor should be able to give it. But the pastor should wait until he sees that no one else is going to give it. Then is when you give it. So, examples of tongues. The inspiration in Daniel 1:17, there was in the Old Testament, dreams and visions were given and the interpretations were given. Daniel 1:17, Genesis 4:25-37, 1 Samuel 11, verses 46 and 47. Those are all examples of the Bible. An example for us to follow would be Genesis 37:5-12, Joseph interpreting the dreams of the baker and the butler. Or Joshua 10:12-13, where Joshua stops the sun, he stops the moon for a day. That's a message of interpretation of tongues. The tongues is only in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament at all, because it's a New Testament gift. It was given in the New Testament. And the interpretation of tongues is exactly that. It's an interpretation of it. It isn't a word-for-word thing. You can have a tongue given that will be a long thing, and the interpretation will be short. Or it can be a short thing and the interpretation will be long. It's just that. It's an interpretation that somebody in the audience is given. The next group is inspiration. In inspiration, we have prophecy. I'm sorry. This is the same group. Prophecy is the 3rd group. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy are in the same group. So prophecy is the 3rd one. Now, Prophecy, everybody wants to be a prophet. Oh, I want to be a prophet. Just because you give a message in tongues does not make you a prophet. A prophet is a special gearing that God has given the church. He will have extra expertise. Like the apostle, the prophet will have almost every gift in operation in his life. In the Old Testament, there were most of the prophets had the divine word of God. In the New Testament, they are given that. Examples, Matthew 5, 7, 10, 21, 24, 1 to 25. An example, Matthew 23, 37 to 39. Luke 13, 34 to 35, Jesus prophesying over Jerusalem when he wept over Jerusalem was an example of prophecy. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, there will not be a stone of yours left unturned because you didn't come to me, weren't sheltered under my wings." He was prophesying to Jerusalem that they would be torn apart. There was in AD 70, The Romans came into Jerusalem and they were going through the town. One of the soldiers threw a torch into the temple and it caught the temple on fire. Consequently, the whole temple burned to the ground. Jesus said, "There will not be a stone left unturned of the temple." There wasn't, because it melted down. So the Roman soldiers had to take the temple apart stone by stone to get to the gold and the silver that were in the temple. So that's an example of that. Another example would be Ananias to Paul, "I've come to give you your eyesight." Another example, Acts 27, 21 to 26, when Paul said to the owners of the ship, "You should never have left the ship. But I have word from the Lord that every man will be saved if he holds on." And so that was a prophecy given by Paul. Now we come to the second gift, the second set of gifts, revelation. The revelation gifts are mind gifts. They reveal something. They are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom will always be future. It is always future. It's God's plans, his minds, his purpose, everything coming from the Word of God. And one can be given this at the time. The Bible examples, 1 Kings 6:12, the gift of 1 Kings 3:12, given to Solomon when he asked for wisdom, and he had wisdom. Why? Because when the mothers with the baby came to him, he said, "Bring me a sword. I'll cut the baby in half." One of the mothers said, "The baby's mine." The other mother said, "The baby's mine." One of the mothers, they both had their babies at the same time. So one of the mothers slept on her baby and killed it. Therefore, during the night, she went and took the other baby from the other mother, and she said, "It's my baby, it's not yours. We'll go to the king." So they went to the king. And the mother whose baby it was said, "Well, don't cut the baby in half, give her the baby. I would rather she have the baby and it live than I have the baby and a dead baby." So she kept the baby. So examples are 1 Samuel 3:12, 1 Kings 18:4, Elijah, when he said after 3.5 years of no rain, he said, "I hear the abundance of rain." It was going to rain. He sent his servant 7 times to the mountaintop to look for rain. 6 times a servant came back and said, "I don't see any rain." He said, "Go again. I hear the abundance of rain." The 7th time the servant went and he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand coming up out of the sea. He came back and he told Elijah, And he said, go tell Ahab quickly, it's going to rain, get down the mountain. And the rain came very quickly. So the second gift in the gift of revelation is word of knowledge. Word of knowledge will be past or present. And word of knowledge is different from your knowledge of the word. The knowledge one has of the word isn't the gift. I have knowledge of the word, but it's not a gift. The gift of knowledge is one given to you by God, and it is on past or present things. Bible examples, 1 Samuel 3, 15 to 17. 2 Kings 6, 8 to 12. Acts 9, 11 and 12. Matthew 21, 11. And examples of it would be Matthew 16, 16, Jesus to Peter. Who do men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's revelation knowledge. It's come to Peter. Matthew 5, 34, Peter to Ananias. 1 Kings 17, 11. I hear the abundance of rain. 1 Kings 41 to 44, Elisha again. The third gift in this series is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is something that it cannot be described because given discerning of spirits, a person will see angels before he sees demons, because demons are so ugly that the average person cannot stand them. So your person will see angels. Most times a person will see angels first. The discerning of spirit is the power of perfection. Examples, Bible, Acts 10, 44 to 48. Acts 19, 1 to 7. Romans 8, 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 14, 25. Acts 10, 44 to 48. Romans 8, 26 to 37. Other examples are 2 Kings 5, 25 to 29. Elisha with Gehazi. When Gehazi stopped to get the reward from the king, or from Naaman, Gehazi said, where did you go? He said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, didn't I go with you? That was discerning of spirits. He discerned that he went to get the reward. 2 Kings 6, 12. Elisha and the king of Syria. The king of Syria would relay his battle plans, and the king would always be found out. Well, who among you is the rat? Somebody's ratting me out. He said, nobody is, Elisha is, and he was. Matthew 3, 24. Matthew 16, 23, and Acts 16, 16 to 19. The third series of gifts is the power gifts. The power gifts do something. They are supernatural ability. The first one is the gift of faith. Now, this is not your gift of faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith. But your faith ends at a certain point. And when you have faith in God, that faith kicks in and takes over. It's a supernatural ability to believe in the power of God. You have to have faith to have the other two power gifts are working. If you don't have the gift of faith, the other two power gifts will not work for you. You have to believe that the Bible is God's word above everything else. You have to believe that God is going to make it work when it isn't going to work. When it looks in the natural like there is no help, God is there. So your faith depends on your faith and God moving your faith. The gift of faith is spoken, what is desired. It's a supernatural trust in God's ability. Example, Hebrews 11, 1 to 40. The whole Hebrews chapter 11 is of men and women who believed God after their natural faith. Their natural faith quit, and they took over, they let the God kind of faith take over. For example, they were all considered themselves pilgrims passing through the country. They didn't consider themselves citizens like of the United States. They considered themselves citizens of heaven, of the city of Jerusalem. That's what they believed for, and that's what they got. They believed God for that. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. 14, chapter 14, 22 to 32. And chapter 16, 8 to 22. An example, Matthew 5, 22 to 23, Jairus for his daughter. He knelt at Jesus' feet and he said, "Please come and pray for my daughter that she may live." He had faith. His faith went in beyond his faith to God's kind of faith. Do you understand that? It's past your point of faith. You all believe in God or you wouldn't be here. So you believe in God, but if when comes time, there may come a time in your life when you go past that faith, when your faith to God ends right here and your faith to God goes on to believe for the impossible. That's the gift of faith. The second gift is working of miracles. In the working of miracles, it's a supernatural acts performed by God. The church understands this gift less than any other. This is a gift that is not understood by the churches in general. Actually, most churches, if you consider the church, I don't know what church you go to, I don't care what church you go to, but very few churches mention the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and more churches than not do not depend on them. You have to depend on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural work supernatural working of miracles can be, you can be going somewhere to pray for somebody. Say you're going to the hospital and a rainstorm hits so badly that you have to pull over. All the cars are pulling over off the road. Your supernatural working of miracles would be, "Lord, stop this rain till I get to the hospital. When it stops, you get to the hospital, and then it starts to rain again." That's supernatural faith. You're taking your faith, uniting it with God's faith, and letting him do his job. That's supernatural faith. Bible examples, Exodus 4:12. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Mark 16, 15. John 14, 12 to 15. And Jude 11, 3. Bible examples, 2 Kings 40 and 41. Elijah taking the poison out of the soup. He put a pot in there. He put salt in there and took care of the poison in the soup. 2 Kings 4:17. Elijah and the woman with the oil. Go and borrow the oil, borrow as many pots as you can borrow. Close the door on you and your sons and begin to pour the oil. She had a little vat of oil. That was all that she had left in the house. Her sons were going to be taken into captivity because of the debt her husband owed. So he said, get the pots, close yourself in, and begin to pour. So she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured, until she said, bring me another pot. And her son said, there aren't any more. That's the working of miracles. Luke 10, 1-7. Cornelius, when he prayed for his servant's healing. The working of miracles will be an explosive power from God. That's how they operate. The third power gift is the gift of healings. It's a supernatural healing with not an operation, not medicine, not anything but God. It's supernaturally done. It's God's power flowing through one individual to another. They lay hands on you or they don't lay hands on you. They just pray over you and you are healed. That's it. No medicine, no doctors, no surgery, no nothing. That's the power of the gift of healings. Bible examples, Matthew 8, 16-17. Acts 10, 38. Matthew 5, 12-16. John 14, 11-13. Genesis 20, 7-17. Exodus 15, 26. Psalm 105, 37. Psalm 107, 20. And Proverbs 103, 1-3. Examples in the Bible?
Proverbs.
Psalm 103, 1-3, I'm sorry. Matthew 8, 14-17, Peter healing his mother-in-law. He laid hands on her. She got up and ministered to them. Matthew 9, 1-8. Luke 5, 12-13. The man with leprosy. He said, Lord, I know you can if you will. It's always God's will to heal. God said, I will be healed. And that quickly he was healed. Acts 28, 8-9. Paul healing Publius's father. Paul received the gifts with the healing, well, gifts of healing, and all the gifts, as well as the ability to impart them to someone else. So Paul imparted the gifts to someone else in Acts 28, 8-9. No, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 4, 14. And 2 Timothy 1, 6. He imparted the gifts to someone else. Now, why do not all men have the gifts? Ignorance. Unbelief. They're ashamed of them. They're not yielded to God. They grieve the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers give many excuses. They do not seek for them. They do not want them. They do not understand how much they need them. Every believer should have the gifts in operation in their life every day. They are not yielded to God, and they don't know that they should have them. Now, you have some sheets that say the Holy Spirit on the top. The Holy Spirit is the promise to come. It's the promise that Jesus promised to his believers, and it is for today. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. It is in the days of grace that we are now in. The church is in the final days of grace until Jesus comes. So when Jesus comes, we won't need the gifts. That which is perfect is Jesus is come. We won't need the gifts. But until then, we do need them. And there is no limit to the amount of gifts that you can have. There is no limit. You will be the limit yourself. Now, you cannot believe. You cannot receive something you do not believe for. So you have to believe in the gifts to receive them. If you don't believe in them, you will never receive them. Because they are from God. They are God's supernatural way to reach his congregation. They are God's supernatural way to talk to his congregation, to move in his congregation, to have the word of knowledge, word of gift, working of miracles. All of those will come as you believe them. So now, we have the Holy Spirit in Acts on this page. Jesus said, wait for the promise. Be endued with the power from on high. It's the power from on high that comes down into us. It is that power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in us. Acts 2-4, the days of Pentecost, the mighty wind, the fire, all filled with the Holy Ghost. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were in the upper room. But the men down below, walking on the sidewalks, heard them speaking, glorifying God. It is a proven fact that the men came out of the house and heard the and saw the men down below listening to the gifts, listening to them speak the wonderful works of God. So the people in the street hear their own language. Peter preaching and explaining, Acts 2. Peter tells them what they must do, repent and be baptized. Now, can you be born again, filled with the Spirit, water baptized, and then baptized in the Spirit? Or can you be born again, filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and then be water baptized?
Yes.
Yes. Either one. Because there's no set way. In the book of Acts, I encourage you all to read the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, you see all the different ways that this operated. We had disciples coming and they're saying, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We haven't so much as heard of the Holy Ghost. But they were born again and water baptized. So they were filled with the Spirit. Then we have other cases the opposite way. We have other cases where they were all filled and nobody knew what was happening, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to know about him and want him. Do you want him today? If you don't have him, do you want him? Of course you want him, because you want all that God has for you. You will never receive all that God has for you until you receive the gifts, until you receive the baptism. The baptism is you step out of your own thinking, out of your own knowledge, and look to God. He baptizes you with the power. You can't imagine the power that there is in God, and you can't imagine how it will thrill you to be used by that power in any of the gifts, because they're God's gifts. They're God's gifts to the church. They're God's gifts to the believer, and he is giving them so that we can all enjoy them. Now, going on down your list, Stephen sees the glory of God. Philip, they received the baptism when they were there. Paul receives sight, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. All of those things, you see, didn't come until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And while Peter is speaking in Acts 10:44-47, the Holy Ghost falls on them while he's speaking all to all the family of Cornelius. They were devout and wanting to receive the baptism. And on and on. And on the back side of that page, you have, how shall we escape? In the Hebrews 1:3-4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God's own will. Hebrews 10:14-15. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us of what he has said before, the new covenant he would make with us. The sins and iniquities will he remember no more. Where remission is, there is no more offering of sin. So 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Love is the key. If you don't have love, you're never going to succeed. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. He, in his love, gives those power, and that power gives to you. Everyone in this room shall receive the power gifts. Now, the last page is how to receive the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. The promise of the Holy Spirit is only to born again believers. It is not for the world. The world cannot understand it. Remember, the Holy Spirit is given freely by grace to help us move into deeper understanding and growth in the Word, to help us witness, receive revelation knowledge, stand against the attacks of the enemy, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, have the power to enable us to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not given as a reward. You won't get him as a reward for being a good person or holy or whatever. If you are sincere in seeking the Holy Spirit and you have read and understood the Scriptures, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer today, as in the days of Acts. It is helpful to be with those who have already received or have been filled with the Holy Spirit, because they will help encourage, instruct, and pray with you. It is not necessary, but helpful for two reasons. One, it is scriptural. It can be done with a laying on of hands, but not necessary to do so to receive. One can just pray and ask, believing, and receive. Satan will immediately try to tell the believer they did not receive it. What you spoke was just garbage. The presence of others, you have witnesses who are witnessing you speak the language, will be able to verify that you did receive it. We are going to pray and invite Jesus, who is the baptizer, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then, by an act of your faith, you will open your mouth and speak praises to God. By an act of your faith, it will be in another language. It will not be in English. You will release the Spirit by praising the Lord in an unknown language by faith. Now remember, this is going to take a huge step of faith. When you received Jesus as your Lord, you didn't feel any different. You didn't look any different. You didn't seem any different, but you spoke and you accepted him into your heart. This is different because you will not see anything, feel anything, know anything, but you will receive him by the faith of you opening your mouth to receive him. Remember, God has already sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now it's up to you to receive him into your life. You don't have to beg. You don't have to ask. You just ask and receive. Just as you ask and receive Jesus, you do the speaking, you make the sounds. You receive God openly and ready for him to fill you. Now, let's just ask. I want to tell you that I taught a seminar in Haiti. I taught 62 pastors, and I asked God how I would know, because I didn't speak French, I didn't speak Creole, how I would know that they spoke in a language. And he said to me, you will look up and you will see a cloud come into the room and hover above the room. And every one of those pastors received the Holy Spirit. So I just praise him for that. This is on you now. We will pray the prayer and you will speak in tongues. You will open your mouth and you will speak. How many in here have already received the Holy Spirit? Okay, then you who have received, look around you and see who has their hand up, who doesn't have their hand up, and then you will know to go ahead and help them. All right? Okay. Now, let's pray the prayer. Father, repeat after me.
Father,
I'm a believer.
I'm
your child.
I'm your child.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
I believe your word is true.
I believe your word is true.
And you say in your word.
And you say in your word.
Luke 11:13.
Luke 11:13.
That if I ask you to give me the Holy Spirit.
That if I ask you to give me the Holy Spirit.
You will.
You will.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm asking you. To fill me to overflowing. With your precious Holy Spirit. I believe I receive. According to your word. And I thank you.
By faith.
I believe. The Holy Spirit is in me.
In his fullness right now.
And I praise God. As I believe. I will speak with another tongue. As you give me the utterance. Now open your mouth and begin to speak in another tongue. Open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will speak. You got to open your mouth in the back. Open your mouth. Begin to speak. And someone go to him and stand there in the back. Abba kamanda koya manda kamanda koya manda kamanda koya abada koya manda kamanda koya abada kamanda kipya abada koya. Someone get to him in the back. Go to him in the back. Tracy, in the back. Koya manda koya manda kamanda koya abada kamanda koya abada koya manda kamanda koya abada kamanda koya abada koya manda kamanda koya abada kamanda koya.